Good morning. Beautiful day out there. A little cold, but we expect that. Where was this global warming? I know I'm going to make that joke all through the winter. Where's this global warming? You Democrats told me it was going to happen. That's why I didn't move to Florida. I mean, I'm glad I didn't, but I really believed you people. Takes me. That's what I get for believing a Democrat. So at 10 o'clock, we're going to have the candidate you've been seeing all over the place on television and in the media, Michael Minogue. Michael Minogue is seeking the Republican nomination to be the governor. First, he has to win the Republican nomination. And quite frankly, I think anybody who wins the Republican nomination will easily be elected governor. Well, I shouldn't say easily. I mean, this is a Democrat state. But I think that Maura Healey has so poorly managed the state. I mean, it's unbelievable how bad it is. You know, because you're paying the utility bills. You're paying the grocery prices that are in part influenced by the utility bills. It is a real disaster. It really is. But it's open phones from now till 10 o'clock when the candidate comes in. Obviously, I expect some of you will call and ask him questions. I think that's important. Let him know. The reason I make everybody come into the studio, or ask them to anyway, is so that you can ask him questions here on the radio, right? I've had all the other candidates for the Republican nomination come in. Then I've had him on the phone. But I do think having him come in is very important. So anyway, 10 o'clock, we'll have Mike Minogue here. And I look forward to it. I really do. And then, just so you know, tonight, Mike Minogue will be at the New Bedford Country Club at an event, a free event, put on by Tom and Joanne Hodgson so that everybody can meet and greet Mike Minogue if they'd like to. New Bedford Country Club, I believe it's at 6 o'clock tonight. Should be a big crowd there. And again, it's all about candidates earning our votes, right? Earning our votes. So that should be a very good event tonight. And a good hour of radio here. So, but in the first hour, if it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. A lot of stuff going on. Tim Weisberg will have a couple of stories up later in the morning. The young man from Mattapoisett Marion, Mr. Zell, John, I think his middle name is Will, Zell, was convicted of murder. That was the outrageous event that took place about a couple of years ago now. It was right around Thanksgiving, may have been on Thanksgiving Day. I guess it's not allegedly anymore, he was convicted, but stole a family member's firearm that was secured in a lockbox. He walked to New Bedford. He encountered two men, strangers to him, working on a vehicle. He murdered one. He shot the other one. He then shot at the police. He was given 50 years to life. 50 years to life. So he will be eligible for parole for murdering someone. A perfect stranger working on his car. Really outrageous. But anyway, shooting at the four police officers, to include my friend Jimmy Estrella, who then they had marvelous professional restraint. The young man threw the gun away. They did not kill him. That is a testament to their training, their skills, their discipline. New Bedford Police Department and the people in elected office really ought to be proud of those police officers. Showing unbelievable restraint. I mean, they have bullets shot at them. But they assessed the situation that the suspect was no longer armed, so they did not gun him down. And by the way, it's my understanding that later on, the suspect made numerous statements to the effect of that basically he wanted to get killed by the police, right? That was his goal. But he didn't, so if he wants to comment further, he's got the rest of his life to do it because he was not killed by the police. And we don't have the death penalty here. So I feel terrible for his family, obviously. But anyway, just to bring you, just to put a conclusion to that story. If there is a conclusion, I don't know. He's off to state prison for the rest of his life. Unless we elect someone and we give him a parole. That is possible. Anyway, kind of open phones. The Epstein files are out there. I don't know what the Democrats were thinking, except that they realized Joe Biden was that incompetent. He had possession. The Biden administration, the Democrats, had possession of the Epstein files. They had them under Obama, and they had them under Biden. What else do they think is in there? If there was anything about Donald Trump or other Republicans, it would have come out by now. The only thing left interesting in those files, I would imagine, are Democrats. Are Democrats. And we're slowly seeing all that come out. Are there any other Massachusetts Democrats other than Larry Summers, high-ranking Treasury official, and the president of Harvard, lifelong Democrat, just resigned? Is there anything, any other Massachusetts Democrats other than Larry Summers in the Epstein files? Have we forgotten about George Mitchell, senator from Maine? George Mitchell's in there. Democrat senator from Maine. Served for a long time with Ed Markey and Ted Kennedy. Joe Biden himself. Are there any other Massachusetts Democrats in the Epstein files? We'll know soon enough. Larry Summers has given up all public engagements. What is he, a member of the royal family? That's what the royal family does when they get hit with scandals. Is that how elitist the Democrat Party is now? They're acting like the British royal family when they get caught in a scandal. That's what Prince Andrew did. He gave up all public engagements. So we'll see. Stay tuned for more Massachusetts Democrats, if any, in the Epstein files. They're all coming out now. They're all coming out now. All right. You can hear that in the background. I see you on hold. That is the plaza maintenance people doing the... looks like they're blowing a trash bag away. I don't know where that trash bag goes. But anyway, you can hear it in the background, so I'll take a break. Hopefully you'll be done soon. But I do appreciate those guys working in this cold weather. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. You can reach me at 508-996-0500. an important message here I want to communicate to you. I totally support. The New Bedford Police Union is asking for your support while they negotiate a fair contract for better education and training programs for their officers. Let me add, that's also for the public. That's for us. Better educated, better trained officers. That's better public service, right? They also want new police equipment and technology and for safe police staffing levels. I happen to think that's all for us, not so much for the union as for us. And they can't do this alone. Please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. For more information, visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page or go right to their website, newbedfordpoliceunion.org. newbedfordpoliceunion.org. Check it out. So, I talked to you yesterday about some zoning changes the mayor is looking to put forward in an attempt to modernize the city. The parking, the requirements for parking, for housing, all of that. New Bedford Light, as always, has a really informative article about it. I'm going to have the robot read us a little clip. I want to get your thoughts on this because it affects a lot of you that own automobiles. Because I figure most of you who live in the city of New Bedford who are listening to my program currently have a home, right? Currently have a home. You're not so much concerned about housing for yourself anyway, maybe for other family members and friends and what the future of the city's going to look like. But I do know you need a car to get around the area, or at least a friend with a car, and or Uber. That's another factor. Uber, Lyft, taxi cabs, the bus, all of that is part of the transportation program. So the city, John Mitchell, wants to modernize, reform the parking requirements when you build new housing. So here is the robot from New Bedford Light. You can read the entire article or listen to the entire article at newbedfordlight.org. Stick around.
Less parking, more housing, two zoning proposals headed to City Council. By Grace Ferguson. Mayor John Mitchell's newest strategy to address the city's housing crisis is a pair of proposals to slash parking requirements for new apartment buildings and make it easier to build on small lots. But skeptical city councilors may question his plans. Current city zoning requires builders to set aside at least two off-street parking spaces for every home in a new project. That means a 10-unit apartment building would need a garage or parking lot with at least 20 spaces. Developers say it's an unnecessarily high standard, and it contributes to higher housing costs. The mayor's proposal would reduce the minimum to one space per unit for apartments with less than three bedrooms. The current zoning would stay in place for those larger apartments, single-family homes, and duplexes. Commercial properties would also get significant reductions in their parking requirements. Planners say lowering parking requirements is tied to economic development and solving the city's housing crisis. That's space that's getting devoted to storing a car, as opposed to housing a person, Assistant City Planner Michael McCarthy said. Mitchell's other proposal is designed to add more housing on vacant lots throughout the city. Many of these lots once had homes on them, but the buildings were lost to fires or abandonment, and restrictive zoning made it illegal to rebuild what used to be there. For more than a year, city planners have been rolling out a series of zoning reforms designed to spur new housing construction and economic development. They were originally promised in Mitchell's Building New Bedford housing plan announced in 2023. The city has created a simpler permitting process for small developments, cleaned up confusing parts of the city code, and set up transit-oriented zoning districts that allow for dense development near the city's MBTA stations. The two new proposals build on those changes, city planners say. The city council will decide whether to pass the ordinances, potentially with amendments. The Ordinance Committee is scheduled to take up the proposals on November 20. Councillors are likely to have concerns about the parking proposal. Some have said parking is already tight in the city and they would hesitate to pass significant citywide changes. Councillor Ryan Pereira, chair of the committee, said he supports the parking proposal, but expects the infill ordinance to be heavily debated. The planning board gave a positive recommendation on both ordinances at its November 12th meeting. New Bedford is not alone in revisiting its zoning code, said Elise Raposa, a city resident and housing researcher at the think tank Mass Inc. It's a growing movement to try to address the cost of housing production by right-sizing the amount of parking you need, she said. In the last few years, some Massachusetts cities have eliminated parking minimums for new apartment buildings. Most of the state's gateway cities now have smaller zoning districts that only require one space or fewer per apartment, Raposa's research has found. In New Bedford, where buildable land is limited and used parking spots are an expensive waste of space, Raposa said. The case for lower parking minimums. City planners say high parking standards are an obstacle to addressing the city's housing crisis.
So that's a Grace Ferguson article. You should go to newbedfordlight.org. You can have the robot play it for you. You can play. You really ought to listen to the entire article or read the entire article, depending on whatever works for you. Do we have confidence in this city council? I mean, really, do we? And the other thing is, this is another reason why I say the mayor is running for re-election. There was a time, I believe, I don't have any confirmation of this, but, you know, that he was looking to maybe move on to higher office. And but I think now that he's really concerned, not that he wasn't always concerned, he was. You want to have a good record to run for higher office. But when you realize you're going to be the mayor for the next 4 years, you want to make the next 4 years be the most impactful as possible. So it's not a criticism of his previous performance or his administration, just an observation that you see these detailed changes to zoning. That indicates to me the mayor is staying around, right? He's staying around. 508-996-0500. You got a lot of those city councils who've been there a long, long time. Long enough to collect longevity pay even when they weren't supposed to. When are they giving that money back? When are they giving back the longevity money? Those who haven't already. Naomi Carney wrote a check. The mayor wrote a check. Joe Lopes wrote a check. What about Linda Morad and Brian Gomes? When are they going to... They may have already written a check. I consider them both honorable people. They now realize the error of their ways and other people's ways by which they benefited. When are they going to write a check? For, I believe, tens of thousands of dollars between them. Very interesting, right? When are they... Brian Gomes and Linda Morad. Linda Morad's leaving. Brian got reelected. When are they going to write a check? And what's the mayor going to do about it, really? He wrote a check for the longevity pay he wasn't supposed to get. As soon as he knew, he wrote a check. Maybe Brian Gomes and Linda Morad already have. I guess I'll ask the mayor when he comes in on Wednesday. This zoning, guys, this is going to be a very big conversation in the city council. Do you have faith they'll be able to figure it out, work on it properly? I mean, remember, this is the same group of people that abolished single-family zoning, not realizing it. Linda Morad literally abolished single-family zoning. Then they had to go back and figure it out after David Garatowski explained it to them. And they redid it, and you have single-family zoning, at least temporarily, once again in the city of New Bedford. But what a group, right? They literally abolished the zoning in Ward 1, primarily. but also Ward 5 and part of Ward 6. Didn't even know it. They didn't even read. Linda Mora didn't even read the material before she voted on it. But she's leaving. She's leaving. All right, let's go to the phones. We got a bunch of people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Truly abolished.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening?
So, politics in New Bedford, you're going to love it. Seems as though the taxes are going up from what I'm gathering.
Yes.
Ryan's a big fan of taxes going up. It seems by his votes and his lack of, I haven't heard this kid speak about anything in regards to lowering the tax. Maybe he has, and everything he's done has overshadowed it. I don't feel comfortable this kid being the city council president. I know the word on the street is he might be our next city council president. I sure hope and pray for the future of New Bedford that's not what happens. At least
well, you're wired in. What are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing the deals have already been struck behind the scenes, and it looks as though the fix is in, and he will be our next president. But not if I can help it, and if there's a God. This kid has done very well for himself. His business, since he's become counselor, has profited tremendously from different aspects, from ARPA money, getting jobs that necessary aren't put out to bid. It seems like every time the city gives out ARPA money or builds a new school, now his business is the business that has the window contract. He doesn't exclude himself from the votes. He's in the middle of it all. It seems as though purposely done so to make sure he guides things properly so his family benefits. I mean, this is my opinion. This is what I'm seeing. And I don't think we should have someone that has been using the seat as a money-making machine for him and his family to be the president. I don't think it's a good idea at all.
Carlos,
I'm sorry.
What do you think about the longevity pay? Do you think Gomes and Morad will ever pay it back?
I think Gomes probably is... destitute, I think. I don't think he has much money, to be honest with you. His property's not in his name for whatever reason. I don't think his wife trusts him or might have been the kid that he put in a wheelchair that nobody knows about. I think he won't pay. I don't think he has the money, to be honest with you. I don't think he has the money.
Should the mayor garnish his wages? In other words, he'll get $25,000 for being reelected.
They should garnish his wages. They really should. And the fact that these people haven't given the money back when they know it was done improperly, they should be tripping over themselves.
Right.
When they put themselves in a position of asking for someone's vote, and then they're keeping their money, the people voting for them, it's their money, and they're saying, nah, I got this money. It wasn't wrong, but you know what? It was wrong, but you know what? I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to, or just be silent. It'll just go away. And that speaks volumes. And I think he can't afford it. I think that's why he hasn't paid it back. I think if he had the money, he'd pay it back, probably.
Carlos, are you going to be at the recount tonight at City Hall or at the City Library?
I will be part of the recall. I've been invited.
Oh, excellent. Of course, yes. Carlos documents everything on New Bedford Live. Where else do you have videos?
Wheeling City Live and New Bedford Live as of late. So, but stay tuned. Things do change often.
Well, they do. They do. But listen, you do a great job. So you'll be there at the recount as an invited guest.
I will be there making sure everything's done on the up and up, looking for any inconsistencies or any issues, and making sure that the person who is rightfully elected should get elected. And if it's Maria, it's Maria. If it's Scott, it's Scott, but I'm looking forward to it, and I think things are going to go well. I think things are going to go well.
It doesn't matter who voted. It matters who counts the votes, particularly on a recount, right?
That's right. And it looks like we're going to have an opportunity to do that today, and I'm glad for that. You know, it shows that we still have democracy here in the city, and hopefully everything goes well, and I think it will. We'll keep an eye out on Manny and make sure everything goes well. But I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. That's Carlos Felix, of course, the second best-looking video journalist in the region. 508-996-0. Kind of open phones. Again, we'll have Mike Minogue, candidate for the Republican nomination for governor of the Commonwealth, here at 10 o'clock. So open phones now. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. I'd like to touch on this whole deal with the parking.
Sure.
And I hope there's some city councilors listening as well as the
mayor.
They're
all listening.
Yeah, well, I have a small problem with it. I get it. Parking is necessary for whether it's a building complex or a single-family home, but if you're going to change the parking requirements, you know, all you're doing is dumping it on the streets, and you don't have to drive very far, you know, one block away to see not only how packed the streets are now, but look at the conditions of the streets on top of that. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, there's no easy solution, but my suggestion would be if you're building apartment complexes, maybe the thing is you got to come up with a different design, like, you know, you've got the parking in the basement with the buildings on top, like you see in Boston,
yes,
you know, and other places like that. You know what I'm saying? And single-family homes, you know, instead of having, you know, the garage on the side, you see what these raised ranches where it's like underneath the living room or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
I
don't think dumping it onto the streets, especially the conditions of the streets in this city, is really the answer, especially when it comes wintertime and you lose one part of the street.
Yes.
You know, because you can't be on the hydrant side.
But what about the fact that they're trying to make the city a more walkable city with bus routes? And, of course, you have Uber in the private sector, Lyft, companies like that, that are taking some people's cars off the road.
Yeah, but those people are the ones that have more disposable income than I do. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? I mean,
the people take the bus or walk.
Excuse me?
People who walk to the bus routes, take buses. Is that anywhere in your... Do you consider that an alternative or you don't? I mean, a lot of people don't. I've never taken the bus in my life.
That to me is a dream. I mean, it works in some places, but the problem is this is an old city and you're trying to fix it. I mean, if you've ever traveled west of the Mississippi, you know, it works there because it's not as developed. They can, you know, incorporate it in their growth. But you here on the East Coast, you know, we're crowded, we're congested. I mean, you can say the same thing about, well, say Boston or Springfield. Does that work for them? No, not really. You know, unless they're working from home or, you know.
What about bike lanes? What about the bike lanes? Does that add any convenience to your life?
I'm almost 70. No.
I don't care if you're 25. I think bike lanes are ridiculous.
Well, you know,
they're
put it in
too.
Because you get the, you know, I get it. You get the younger people. I understand it. If they're, you know, in their 30s and 40s and they bought houses and they would like to do that, fine. But once again, I think the problem we're facing here, it's an old city, old infrastructure, and, you know, dumping stuff more on roads that you and I both know and your listeners know, they're horrible. New Bedford streets are horrible, and it's just going to make it that much worse. You know, it's already bad enough, you know, the work they're doing on 195. That, you know, it's going on Cogswell Street and other side streets, which are tearing the bejesus out of them. You know, and where's the money going to come to fix that? It's not coming from the state, as far as I know. So we're going to be stuck with that little piece of heaven, you know, to fix up someday, some century. You know, I just think that the easier answer is design issues. If there's a lot and you're going to want to build on it, then somehow you have to incorporate the parking within the design of the structure. But don't dump anything more on the streets, because I'll tell you, you don't have to go very far, and you can see how crowded it is, you know? And I'm not seeing it happening.
No, big time. Thanks for the call, my friend. Big time. And remember, Maria Giesta, who's going to be trying to save her political career tonight, she'd been bottling up any parking reforms for years, it seems, for years. That was in part, I think, one of the reasons she lost. By the way, folks, you mentioned the 195 project. I was through there the other day, a couple times the last couple days. I think it's going really well. Congratulations to D.W. White, Mark White, a local contractor who's managing that project, and to the local governments in New Bedford that are dealing with it, the state government. To be honest with you, I think the project's going a lot better than we really anticipated. But there is the opportunity with debris on the road to crack your windshield. So make sure you get a cracked windshield fixed immediately. Call Citywide Glass. It shouldn't cost you anything more out of your pocket whatsoever. All auto insurance is accepted by Citywide Glass. And they have a mobile tech team that'll blow your mind. They'll come out to your work parking lot or your home and fix your windshield. All you got to do is call them and make an appointment. They're in Dartmouth and Fall River, Citywide Glass, or you can go on their website and make an appointment, citywideglass.net. Remember, having a cracked windshield doesn't reflect well on you. It's also dangerous. It's unsightly. It's dangerous. Really dangerous, particularly as we get colder. And doesn't cost you anything more out of your pocket. They'll come right to you. You don't have to go to them. Citywide Glass in Dartmouth, Citywide Glass in Fall River, citywideglass.net. Make an appointment today within the sound of my voice. Make an appointment. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You know, it's that magical time of year, right? Here on the South Coast, when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special someone on your Christmas list has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap here in Westport has your back and your tow truck. They are paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It doesn't really matter. They'll tow it for free. They'll get it out of your sight. They'll get it out of your yard. And you'll get that cash that you need for those Christmas gifts. That means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog, more eggnog. Call Mid-City Scrap today or stop by Mid-City Scrap, 548 State Road, right in Westport. They're practically our neighbors. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all winter long. Remember, we're going to have Mike Minogue in the next hour. Mike, of course, is seeking your vote in the Republican primary, maybe even your vote at the convention, should you be a delegate to the Republican convention. That season is coming up, caucuses, all of that. If you want to get involved in what is really a competitive governor's race and maybe a competitive U.S. Senate race on the Republican side, got to get involved with your town committees. You've got them in New Bedford. You've got them in Mattapoisett, Fairhaven, certainly Acushnet, all over the place. There are Republican town committees. And you got to get involved. That's how you can become a delegate. And I think people have had enough. Have you had enough? You know, the House of Representatives, which will also be on the ballot, all right? And we'll ask my guest in the next hour how he plans to deal with, if not lessen, the supermajority of the Democrats in the House of Representatives, because he'll be running with a whole group of other people, state senators, U.S. senators, members of the House of Representatives at the local level. The House of Representatives is about to kill a Democrat bill by the few moderate Democrats still remaining to lower the green requirements that have been raising the bill. They're buried in that delivery charge that's on your bill. I mean, I got a note, and you people in the audience know this. I got a note over the last fall from a 95-year-old woman telling me that her electric bill had gone from a very reasonable $150 a month to around $500 a month. How's she going to pay that? And this governor and many members of the legislature continue with their religion, the Green New Deal. And we're paying for it. It's literally like Siberia. People are going to freeze this winter. But I believe there'll be an opportunity for real change on the ballot in November. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. Remember, we'll have Mike Minogue coming up in the next hour. We'll be here for an hour taking your calls. As I require all candidates, and he seems very enthusiastic to do it here in the few minutes we've been together, in the next hour. So you can reach me at 508-996-0500. Guys, it's getting cold out there. You got to winterize your automobile. Mac Auto Sales, a family-owned business right in the city of New Bedford. They repair all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming winter, and I'm sure you do, call Mac Auto Sales and Repair. Make an appointment. 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Tim Oisberg has a foreign car. He brings it to Mac Auto Sales. It rides like new now. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. So, guys, we... As I was mentioning, close out before the break, now is the time to get involved with your own future, all right? You have the opportunity to go down and get involved with the Republican town committees, reach out to the state committee people, Joanne Hodgson and Robert McConnell, right? Right here in Fairhaven, and ask about becoming a delegate. It's a lot of fun. I've done it a number of times. Being a delegate is important. And should be a it'll be a three-way race if nothing changes. We've had the third candidate now coming in the next hour. So this is going to be a great opportunity. You know, for years, the greater New Bedford area was written off as Democrat area. You people were doing only Democrat voting, right? Didn't matter what happened. But Charlie Baker, Bill Weld, they kind of changed that. And you changed with it. And today, we are, I would say, the most competitive region of the state for votes. You're not a guaranteed Democrat vote. You're not a guaranteed Republican vote. Some of you in the audience are a guaranteed Republican. But even I'm not a guaranteed Republican, as I have so often confessed to you that I voted for Maura Healey because in the race, I believed her, and that she would be able to attract the best talent to work for the Commonwealth, which has a lot of important responsibilities. I was wrong, and I'm here to admit that. I'm a Catholic. I can do confession with you people. And some of you enjoy busting my chops about it, but I deserve that. And many of you are in the same position that I was in. You voted for Maura Healey. Why? Because you didn't really think it was a choice. You didn't really believe in the Republican candidate that he would be able to attract the best people. Well, that's the beauty of the Republic, right? We get to do over. We get additional elections. We get to assess people, and we get to fire them. We get to say to Maura Healey, my utility bill is too high. I know you want to make my property taxes, my excise taxes, my candy taxes go up. Well, you're fired. You're fired. But only if you participate, right? Only if you participate. And what I'm telling you is join the Republican Party. Don't join the Republican Party. It's entirely up to you. but you have an opportunity to vote in the Republican primary if you're a Republican or if you're unenrolled. If you're a Republican, you have an opportunity to go to convention. But before all that, this evening, you'll have an opportunity to meet the man I'm about to speak with here at the New Bedford Country Club. It's a free event, 6 p.m., put on by Tom Hodgson and his beautiful wife, Joanne Hodgson, for you to meet and greet with Mike Minogue. So stick around.